Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about our tribal veteran service officers, our county veteran service officers, and speak with the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military children play an important part in the life of a military family. They give our service members encouragement, love, and hope for the future. They're a special group of kids, and in times of separation from their military parent, they have a unique set of challenges. We've learned over the years that one of the best ways to nurture and empower military kids is by connecting them with other military children. They might be the only one in their school with a parent in the military, but there are others going through the same things across our state. This summer, I encourage all military families to get their children connected through camps. There are a handful of camp opportunities available this summer, and I'm proud of the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp that will be held at Camp Ripley for two separate weeks in late July and August. The camp allows Guard kids ages 10 to 15 to experience things like canoeing, archery, hiking, and a competence course with their peers from across our state. There are also camps for military kids of all branches of service available in July and August. Even a family camp is available. Our team at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon keeps a watchful eye out for camps offered specifically for military children and posts that information on their website. I encourage you to visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org, pick out a camp that will work for your family, and get your children registered.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is one of our tribal veteran service officers, Wendy Cederstrom. Wendy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me today.
Wendy, I understand you were in the United States Army.
Yes, I'm a veteran of the United States Army. I served one tour of duty over in Frankfurt, Germany. I was part of the 3rd Armored Division in 1974, 75, and 76. So I'm a Vietnam-era veteran.
My goodness, you can't be a Vietnam veteran.
Vietnam-era. Vietnam-era. I did not see any combat.
You look way too young for that, Wendy. How in the world, you were in the Army, and you've been in business for a while, how did you get to be a tribal veteran service officer?
Well, I think first and foremost, the reason anyone works for the Department of Veterans Affairs or becomes any kind of a veterans service officer is you have to be a United States veteran. So that's the first thing that got me in the door. I also have a background in social science and a background in doing lobbying work for Native American education issues. All of that, I guess, was a good combination when they read my resume and did my interview and decided that I was a good fit for being a tribal veterans service officer.
So all of that experience, including experience in the United States Army, being a veteran, wanting to help other veterans,
yes,
set you up well to become a tribal veteran service officer.
Right. There's probably one other thing that helped to set me up a little bit. I'm also, my father was a military, he was in the Air Force when I was born. And so the first 10 years of my life I spent as being growing up in a military family. When I got married, I married a veteran. So it's pretty well ingrained in my background through and through. That
it's in your blood, isn't it?
It is. It is. And the military is a great place to be.
Okay, Wendy, I hope you can help us with this. We've had some county veteran service officers on, quite a few of them over the last 3 years. And we talked to Todd Kubinski from Scott County once a month. What's the difference between a county veteran service officer and a tribal veteran service officer?
Well, a tribal veteran service officer holds a very unique position in that they are an employee of the state of Minnesota. And county veteran service officers, on the other hand, they're employed by counties. So we aren't restricted to working in just one county. As a tribal veteran service officer, being located here in the metro area, I can service veterans from Scott County, Hennepin County, Ramsey County, which is very good for me since my office is at the VA Medical Center. Any veteran that comes to the regional medical center to get any kind of a service can come to me and I can do a claim for them or give them information or assist them in any way, where A county veteran service officer is restricted to just their county.
So a county veteran service officer stays in their county and the veterans come to them.
Yes.
Veterans can go to any county veteran service officer they choose, but the county veteran service officers have to stay there and yep. take care of whoever comes in. Now, are you restricted to just Native American veterans?
No, I'm not. I can file claims or give information to any veteran, and I do quite often. It's just that when I do my outreach program, it is into the Native American population.
Very good. So if I stop out to the VA medical system and I have a question, I can stop in your office and get an answer.
It would be great. I'd love to see you. Yeah, and I'd hope I have the right answer for you, too.
I'll have to try that next time I come out there. Now, how many tribal service officers do we have in Minnesota?
Right now, I believe there are six of us. I'm the only one in the metro area. The other are located either on a reservation or near a reservation in the state of Minnesota. And then they will service, of course, all the veterans on that reservation.
And how long have we had tribal veteran service officers?
The program started in the fall of 2007. It was a collaborative effort with the legislature, the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs, the Department of Indian Affairs, and the reservations themselves in the state. It was a collaborative effort by all those people.
We're speaking with Wendy Cederstrom, a tribal veteran service officer from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Wendy, are there some things you can share with us about Native Americans that enlist in the military? Do they enlist in a greater percentage than the rest of the population?
That they do. If you take a look at the general population at any given time, about 3% of the general population is serving in the military. And if you look at that and you look at Native Americans, per capita, they serve at a rate of about 30%. So they serve at a much greater rate than other veterans. Yet when we look statistically at who was receiving their benefits, Native Americans were receiving the least number of benefits compared to other ethnic groups. So they were serving in large numbers and not filing any claims.
Have you done any research on that? Why did they serve in greater numbers?
You know, it's not any one reason. It would be nice if we could have just one reason, but it's a combination of reasons. First of all, Native Americans just culturally believe in serving as a warrior for their nation. This is something historically and culturally that they've done all their lives. A lot of them do grow up on a reservation. Reservations quite often don't have the same opportunities as you would have if you were living in the city. They're a rural area. So this prompts someone to go ahead and join the military because they don't have an opportunity. Also, another reason they don't is because as far as, let's say, for instance, a Native American veteran wanted to use the VA health system. They also have the opportunity to use the Indian Health Board system. So they don't have to come, leave their reservation, come down to Minneapolis and use the VA hospital. They can stay right on their reservation and use the Indian Health Service that they have. So when you start putting all of these things into play, people just are not coming in. Native Americans are just not coming in and filing for the claims or the benefit that they're looking for.
So you're telling me it's part of their culture, a big part of their culture, to serve, mm-hmm. be warriors and serve in the
yes.
military. And then when they come back home, they've got alternative services available, so they don't necessarily need the VA as much as the general population would.
Right, which is why the Tribal Veteran Service Officer is so unique, because we have a beautiful, wonderful outreach program where we can go out to these reservations, where we have events, we attend powwows, and then we can inform them. We can give them the information that they need so that they understand what benefits are available to them and probably what they're missing out on that they should be looking into.
So you've said that there are a number of tribal veteran service officers. Do they all work for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
No, not all of them. There are tribal veteran service officers in this state. Three reservations that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head is Red Lake, Leech Lake, and Fond du Lac. They all have tribal veteran service officers that are hired by the tribe. The position that I have is one that's a state position.
And so if they're hired by the tribe and the tribe happens to have some alternative medical services available, that's why some of those Native American veterans stay home and get the services right there.
Exactly. That's right.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And if you know, especially like let's say you live in Grand Portage. It's over, almost 400 miles to come down here when you can go 2 miles to the Indian Health Service. Why would you do that? It just doesn't make sense that you would choose to have your medical care here versus up, you know, where you're living.
Well, as you said, there are multiple reasons why, first, they join the military, and second, why they aren't necessarily using the VA healthcare system and putting in claims for VA benefits.
Right, but the VA health system is just one aspect. That the part that they miss out on, which is the niche that we try to really fill, is they're also not filing disability claims. And this is something that they need to be aware of, that they're entitled to serve, you know, to file disability claims, and that they should at least be aware of the benefits that are there for them.
Let's hold that thought. I want to talk about claims when we come back. Wendy, we have to take a short break. We're speaking with Wendy Cederstrom from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. She's a tribal veteran service officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with Wendy Cederstrom from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, where she is a tribal veteran service officer. Now, Wendy, you told me as a TVSO, tribal veteran service officer, you service the Twin Cities area?
Yes, I do.
And as far as Native American veterans, are they scattered throughout the Twin Cities? There isn't any reservation here.
No, there's no reservation here, and this is actually where, when someone's looking for an opportunity outside of the reservation, this is where they migrate to the Twin Cities area, usually looking for work or an education. That's what they're looking for down here. And so those are the people that I try to hook up with and explain their benefits to them.
So they've got to be scattered all over town. How do you reach out to them? How do you let them know you're here to help?
Well, I'm very well known down on Franklin Avenue, which is where the Native American Community Center is. When they have powwows, we attend their powwows. We have someone that goes regularly to the Chippewa Urban Office down there, sets up shop, tells about our benefits. It's basically through events, powwows, and just in general being at diabetes breakfast for Native Americans, any kind of activity that's going on that's surrounding the Native American population. We're there, we put up a table, and we start talking to people. And that's how we find people.
And do you have a wide variety of services, just like the county veteran service officers, that you can help them with, from education to health care to claims to...
Absolutely. We are tribal veteran service officers. We function exactly like county veteran service officers, only our outreach is into the Native American population.
Now, we've had MACV on the show last year, and they come on every year or so, and they do their stand-downs for homeless veterans. Mm-hmm. There must be some homeless Native American veterans as well. Do you ever work with them as well?
I work with a lot of homeless Native American veterans. Yes, I do. On a daily basis, I see homeless Native American veterans. A lot of them come to the VA hospital seeking health care, and then they come to my office. And they're great at the VA hospital in referring people to my office.
Well, that's terrific. Can you give us an example of a Native American veteran that might have been homeless?
Well, I've worked lately with a veteran who had been homeless for a long time. He'd been on the streets for a long time, and I also work another wonderful program through my office called the MOVE program, and this is a state of Minnesota program that is designed to assist homeless veterans. We have 4 beds that we pay for monthly at the Union Gospel Mission, and my job is to take those applications, screen them, and then in conjunction with the director of the State Soldiers Assistance Program, we place people in these beds. But once we get them in these beds, we don't just allow them to be there. We have to work with them to try and end their homelessness situation. And a veteran that I just worked with recently, he's been homeless for a long time. He stopped by my office yesterday morning thanking me. We arranged to get him into the Hastings Veterans Home. He went down. He had an interview. They accepted him into the program. And he's so grateful and thankful that he's not on the streets. He told me that this is the first time in many, many years that he has a home. And he's just so excited. He went there today. He's thrilled.
You've got to feel really good about helping someone like that.
I do. It just makes my day. I tell you, this is a part of the job that there no money could pay you enough. It's just so exciting and wonderful to see people that their lives are changed for the better. And that's the greatest part about being a tribal veteran service officer.
Now, do you help some of these veterans with benefits so they can go back to school?
Yes. I don't do it. We have an education department with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So I mostly do a lot of referring them for their education benefits. The large part of my job that I do is filing for federal and state benefits that are available to the veteran. And that's that is some of the education, but since we have a specialty department that, steers people, I steer people that way. They're the experts, and I stay with what I do best, and that's filing disability claims.
So once again, just like the County Veteran Service Officers, you've got a whole list of resources. If a Native American needs some help and they come to you, you can connect them up with the appropriate people that can help them.
Absolutely, and I'm always looking for more literature. Who else? What's another avenue that I can send a veteran to get help? I'm always looking for organization names and ways to assist veterans in getting all the assistance that they need.
We're speaking with Wendy Cederstrom, a tribal veteran service officer with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Wendy, I want to come back to claims. You do process claims.
Yes.
For all veterans, but you reach out specifically to our Native American veterans.
Yes, exactly.
How's the claims process going?
Well, the claims process, I'm sure you all hear in the national news that it's slow. That's how it's going. It's slow, that they have a big backlog that they're working on. And I have to say our St. Paul regional office here is one of the best. Since I've had this job, I believe it's for the last 8 years they've either been number one or number two in accuracy, efficiency, and timeliness of filing and completing claims for veterans. But recently that's changed. We have started to acquire claims that are backlogged in other regional offices are brought up to our regional office. So we're starting to have a backlog, and the claim process is going slower for the people here in this region as compared to what it was a couple of years ago.
So, Wendy, we had Dr. Sowers on from the VA out in D.C. about a year ago, and he said that there were a couple of priorities. One was to eliminate veteran homelessness, and one was to speed up the claims processing so it was shorter. And he told us that he was here to study why this area of the United States, specifically Minnesota, process claims quicker than most of the rest of the country. But what we've heard from other county veteran service officers, and now what we're hearing from you, is that maybe they studied that, maybe they didn't, but now they're sending in claims from elsewhere, and they're creating a longer backup for us. What's happening to our local claims? Are you still processing those, or did they get sent away somewhere?
Well, I think in some instances they are sending them away. What I believe the federal government is doing, from the data that I've looked at, they're looking at this as more of a national problem, where we're looking at it from a regional aspect where we live. And so they're trying to get these claims around the United States wherever they feel they can get processed the fastest. So, yeah, if someone comes and files a claim with me, it may go to St. Paul, it may go to Milwaukee, it may go out to California.
Doesn't seem to me like that's the most efficient process.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it is or not, but
no,
it is
no
what they're trying to do. It's I know that the federal government is trying to alleviate the backlog, and I think the toll it's taking on the people of Minnesota is that because we've been so efficient, we're getting more of the backlog sent to us, so our veterans are having to wait longer to have their claims processed.
What's that doing to the people that process claims? They must be getting worn out.
They are. They're working overtime, mandatory overtime all the time, and they are getting worn out. They are.
That usually leads to mistakes.
Well.
We hope not.
I hope not. No, I hope not. But then that's where I come in then. Then I review those decisions, and we see if a mistake has been made, and then we draw it to their attention.
So do you still feel like you have as much influence on the claims process as maybe you had a year ago or 2 years?
I think we do. I just think that there's less that they can do about it, because a lot of times if you go to them with a claim that you think has been sitting around for a long time and maybe should, you know, be looked at or expedited in some way, they probably are looking at us and saying they're in line. We'll take them as we receive them. So I think that would probably be the only way. Otherwise, we have a great relationship with the VA.
Okay, Wendy, can we just talk a little bit about the spectrum of services that you provide for our veterans?
Oh, we have a lot of services that we provide. First and foremost, the most important thing is I file federal disability claims for veterans that have service-connected disabilities. I also file all of the programs that we have with the State Soldiers Assistance Program, which would be we have a dental and optical program for veterans that are of a lower income that are seeking those services. We have a special needs program, which is like an emergency fund if a veteran finds himself in a bad spot. We can maybe look at getting them some funding. We have a subsistence program, which is a short-term disability program for veterans recovering from some kind of an illness. But then there's the MOVE program in there, which assists homeless veterans. We've got a women's program. We have we have a core service, which helps with the Lutheran Social Services, helps with financial counseling. There's the education programs. Just goes on and on.
You also provide some financial counseling and maybe some emergency financial assistance?
Yes, we do.
Wendy, we're just about out of time. Have you got any final thoughts for our listeners about our tribal veteran service officers in Minnesota?
I would encourage all veterans, especially Native Americans, if you think that you might have a disability claim, to please come forward and file that. And at least if you don't even think you have one, stop by your county veteran service officer's office or your tribal veterans service officer's office and get the information, because you may really have some benefit there that you have earned from being in the military, and you should be seeking that benefit out.
And if our veterans are out at the VA Medical Center, stop in and see Wendy.
Stop and see me. Just come and see me. I'm right on the main floor.
Wendy, you're doing a great job, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Wendy Cederstrom, a tribal veteran service officer from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll speak with our Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kubinski. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll speak with one of our county veteran service officers. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
I recently had the opportunity to return a Purple Heart Medal to the family of a veteran who was killed in action during the Korean War. George J. Johnson died July 28, 1950, in the Battle of Hwanggang. He was only 17 years old at the time of his death. His remains were returned to Fulda, Minnesota for burial, and his parents were presented with a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart for his bravery. Sadly, the medals were later stolen when his father's shop was burglarized. Missing for nearly 6 decades, the Purple Heart was found by a couple last year in a box of junk on a farm in Otsego. The couple contacted the American Legion and then our department. With the help of the Totsky Funeral Home, MDVA tracked down Johnson's family. William Johnson, George's brother, accepted the medal at a ceremony which took place at the Federal Whipple Building. Oftentimes these things, especially when a person is killed, can be one of the few items that family has left of their loved one. It was an honor to get George's medal back to his family, where it belongs.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is our Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kubinski. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me back.
We're going to get you some frequent flyer miles one of these days, Scott, Todd.
Well, people don't realize that we text and talk more than most people know.
Let's not tell. Todd, you heard the first part of the show. We finally got a chance to talk to one of our tribal veteran service officers, and we learned that they are state employees, where you're a county employee, and that they can service our Native American veterans pretty much anywhere, where you're kind of limited. They chain you down to your desk in Scott County, and you have to stay home, and veterans can come see you, but she's got a little more leeway than you.
Well, yeah, they do, being a state program. But the nice thing is that they're actually targeting a what we consider an underserved population of veterans within the state here. As Wendy had stated, there's a higher percentage per capita of adults in the Native American community that enlist in the military than the rest of the population, yet they only take advantage of a very small portion of the benefits. And there are lots of reasons why that happened, but having a tribal veteran service officer program kind of gives them some ownership in it and a trust factor that may not be there between the tribes and county workers.
So as I understand it, the tribal veterans that are down in Scott County, they can either go talk to Wendy or they can just come on over and talk to you, can't they?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. Several of the members of the tribe here have been into our office, and we've done some good work with them. And they appreciate our services here. And, yeah, they can see Wendy or Todd Dion there in Minneapolis. And I tell you what, I've had an opportunity to work a number of programs side by side with the TVSOs, State Fair, other programs, and they are absolutely quality people, and they do know their business, and we're happy to have them out there as a resource for our veterans.
Todd, I didn't realize that up to 25% of our Native Americans sign up for military service. We really need to salute them for serving their country in a great way, don't we?
Absolutely. I don't think we can give back enough to those folks that do go in and serve, especially in that high number. And it's dedicated to preserving the way of life and preserving our freedom.
And we're just happy to have them join us, aren't we?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
We're speaking to Todd Kubinski, our Scott County Veteran Service Officer, on Minnesota Military Radio. Todd, just to follow up a little bit more with Wendy, she basically is doing the same things that all of you county veteran service officers are doing in terms of providing services to our veterans.
Yeah, that's correct. They help administer the same programs that we do, and we both act as a first stop shop for all things veteran. And we're the ones that'll help put the claim together. We're the ones that package all the paperwork that needs to be done. And we're also the ones that are aware of not only the state and federal programs, but also the community-based programs and even programs within the county ourselves, or the TVSOs are aware of programs that are available on the different reservation areas. So it's really specialized care. And the fact that we're doing the same thing, it means that we're getting to a larger population of our veteran, and that's got to be good for all of us.
Todd, we've learned on the show over the last few years that for our veterans, of course, we've told them again and again, get your discharge certificate, go see your county veteran service officer. But now we know that if they need help with claims, they can go to the county veteran service officer, the tribal veteran service officer. DAV of Minnesota has some people to help with claims, VFW, the American Legion. How do you sort that all out, Todd?
Well, here in Minnesota especially, and our system is, I would say, the best in the nation, and yes, that was a self-serving statement, but I'll stick with it. What we do is that the tribal veteran service officers and the county veteran service officers are the entry point, especially when it comes to the claims process. We're the ones that'll put the package together. We're the ones that'll help you get the evidence that you need or tell you what evidence we will need. We'll make sure that all the paperwork is formatted and done correctly. Then we will actually assign a national service office like the American Legion, VFW, DAV, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Vietnam Veterans of America, all those groups represent veterans to the VA in getting claims. They're kind of the legal team. So we have a partnership, and we actually sign two-way releases, so we can ask them to research something, and they have access to the files there at the regional office, and then they're allowed to give us information back. Plus, it's a second set of eyes on the claim before it even gets to the VA. So if something's missing or something's wrong, they'll call back and let us know what we need to get done, and it works very, very well.
So once again, start the process with your county veteran service officer, but if you're a member of the DAV of Minnesota, coordinate the effort, and you'll both work together to try to get the claim finished.
Absolutely. We'll go ahead and we'll get all the paperwork together, and then we'll assign the DAV as the national service office handling the claim. Plus, what's nice is that they're the one, they're the experts on VA law. So they're the ones that are going to be in the room with you if you ever have to do an appeal and you're appearing in front of the Veterans Appeal Board. They're the ones that are going to be there. They're going to put together an argument just like an attorney would, and they are the experts on law. We're more of the grunts. We're the ones digging up all the stuff to put in a pile.
I'm visualizing, and I shouldn't be, Todd.
I know.
The claims process in Minnesota, we've been way ahead of everybody else in doing it well, but you had a little setback recently. How's it going now?
It's still a backlog issue, and unfortunately, Minnesota veterans, for the most part, are being pushed back a little bit. It is getting just a titch better. But unfortunately, the rest of the nation is way behind what we do here in Minnesota. And I think a large part of that is based on our relationship between the VA, the NSOs, and ourselves, and that we work together to get, well, you know, our overall goal is to try to provide the most fully developed claim we can before it even gets to them. That relationship doesn't happen throughout the country. In fact, in a lot of cases, it's very antagonistic between the three entities. We don't have that here, so it works very well.
Todd, we're always talking about claims, and you being the first stop for our veterans. We've got about a minute left. What are some of the other things that you help veterans with?
Well, we help with emergency assistance through the State Soldiers Assistance Program. We have resources from Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for outreach, counseling, financial education through Lutheran Social Services Corps program. We will help you get into the VA Healthcare Center, which, by the way, on June 2nd, we're anticipating opening up our community-based outpatient clinic here in Shakopee. We're real excited. And anything else, even if it's not veteran-related, we have resources that we can steer the veteran to make sure that we take that holistic view of taking care of our veterans.
Yeah, and let's not forget the education benefits.
Absolutely. You know, post 9/11 GI Bill, Montgomery GI Bill, Minnesota GI Bill, which is a real godsend now for some of our older veterans who no longer have that federal GI Bill available to them.
Todd, it sounds like you're working hard down in Scott County.
Yeah, we're doing our best. We're rocking and rolling down here.
We appreciate you joining us on the show again today, Todd.
Oh, not a problem, Tom. Always happy to be a part of the show.
Thank you. That was Todd Kubinski, our Scott County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System and also a retired Navy captain, Patrick Kelly. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, I appreciate your having me. Thank you.
Sir, it's great to have you on the show so we can get some updates about the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and it extends out to the state. But could you just tell our listeners, how long have you been the director?
I started in June of last year, so I was retired from the Navy in October of 2011, worked a little bit in Sioux Falls, South Dakota as the director of the VA down there, and then was offered the terrific opportunity of coming to work in Minnesota, where I'm originally from. So this is an opportunity for me to come home and work at what is really a terrific medical center and great place to work.
Director Kelly, as I recall, your entire career in the Navy kind of set you up to be in this position.
Well, it's the kind of work that I did in the Navy. Yeah, so I came into the Navy. In the Navy, it's referred to as a Medical Service Corps officer, and so I was, I did a number of hospitals and operational and overseas, the great thing about the military is you get exposed to all kinds of opportunities, and so I did work in hospitals. I ran some hospitals in the Navy, and so for me to come out and work in a VA facility was something that I wanted to do, and it really kind of a continuation of the work that I was doing when I was in the Navy. So it was it's been terrific. You know, veterans are veterans, and it's great continuing my work with veterans here in Minnesota.
Well, it's nice to see that you're not just taking care of the sailors today, sir, and you're taking care of all the services.
Of course.
Director, I understand you've got an exciting new development coming out there next week for those of us that come out and have to look around for a place to park.
Yeah, thanks. You know, we have been working since last April, the 1st of April, we started work on our new 520-space parking ramp. And it was originally an 18-month project, so we hope to have been done, this fall. But you know, as a present to all of our Irish veterans out there, we're going to open our parking ramp next Monday on St. Patrick's Day, and so that is less than a year and about 6 months ahead of schedule, and so it's going to be exclusively for veterans. It's staff will be parking in other spaces, but it on Monday through Friday, again, veterans only, 520 spaces, about 100 handicap accessible spaces, you know, elevators, and then, you know, during the off tours and on weekends, we're allowing the staff to park there in order to be closer to the facility. But it's, we really are pleased that we're able to open it. I wish we had been able to open it when it was a little colder during the winter months, but it's going to be a great benefit to our veterans, and our veterans have been asking us daily for the last several months when we're going to open the parking ramp, and so just this week we finished up the last interior work on that, and everything works, and we are ready to go starting next Monday. So we're pumped. It's going to be a good deal for veterans.
Director, I'm visualizing some of your veterans' patients out there doing a St. Patrick's Day parade and pounding on bedpans.
To include green beer. No, we're ready to go.
Well, that's a great development, sir.
Yeah.
And I understand you've got two new clinics opening up soon.
Exactly. So we are opening two new clinics, one in Shakopee, Minnesota, one in Albert Lea. And Albert Lea comes first, and so... We are on schedule to open that clinic in April, and so patient appointment letters, invites to veterans to the new clinic, and some presence, VA presence down there to talk to the service organizations and others is starting. The letters have not been sent out yet, but they will be sent out soon, and we are planning a grand opening event on the 25th of April, and that'll include an open house and tours and a lot of VIP guests, and hopefully a lot of veterans can make it. But we're in the Skyline Mall down there in Albert Lea. Nice space. I've been down there a couple times, and we expect to have a first rate clinic. And we're going to be doing of course our primary care and mental health, pharmacy services, and we're also going to be doing podiatry in this clinic and a pretty robust radiology lab and telemedicine. So that's going to be a big benefit to the veterans who maybe have not enrolled with us because they didn't want to come all the way to the Twin Cities to get their care, or for those who live down in southern Minnesota and have been coming here that can now, we'll encourage them to enroll at the Albert Lea Clinic and get their care closer to home. So anyway, that's imminent. That's happening soon. The other clinic, the second one, is going to be in Shakopee, and that will, you know, those that will be our 13th outpatient clinic, and sort of the last one we have scheduled for the near future anyhow. And the Shakopee clinic, again, about the same size, all of the same services, and that clinic is going to open, at least it's scheduled to open in June. So we are on schedule with both of those clinics. That one, of course, a little nearer the cities, but again, a large veteran population in Shakopee, and we hope veterans who are not currently enrolled will seek their care there at that clinic. And for those who are enrolled that don't like driving up to the Twin Cities to get their primary care, we will encourage them and be sending them letters as well, asking them to consider getting their care there in Shakopee.
We're speaking with Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Director Kelly, these days we have more and more women veterans, and I understand that the VA healthcare system has been working hard to make sure that we're taking good care of them.
Yeah, so thanks for that question, Tom. There's a couple areas that I want to talk about. One is that we are opening, and a first for us, a comprehensive breast imaging center. And so in addition to offering mammograms to our women veterans, we're going to have all of the associated behavioral health counselors. We're going to have surgeons if breast surgery is needed, and reconstructive surgeons if we need to do some of that. But this is a full service, recognizing that about 6, almost 7% now of our veterans are women veterans, and we are, you know, we want to provide more and more services for our women veterans here in Minneapolis and in our outpatient clinics, and this will be significantly leaning forward, and I think one of the things that will attract our women veterans to enroll and seek their care here with us. We are also, and I just mentioned, we have had for the last 12 years a women's health clinic dedicated to women veterans, and we're doing some construction in that area and some good improvements and always expanding our list of providers, gynecologists, family physicians, those that are specifically trained in treating women veterans and women's health issues. Both of those will happen here in Minneapolis and be big additions. And finally, I just mentioned that all of our CBOCs have a women's health provider, and it's either a physician who specifically has trained in women's health or has received special training or additional training of late in order that they can deal with the full range of women's health related issues. So, again, 7% of our population now are women veterans. In Minnesota's National Guard, it's almost 16%, and that is growing. So we want to expand those services, and we hope women veterans take the opportunity, if they don't get their care with us now, to come and check us out, and we'd like to take care of our women veterans, you know, right here in our VA system.
Director Kelly, we've just got about a minute left, but I understand that you're making some strides in the area of pain management.
Yeah, Tom. So we have a chronic pain management center that we just sent a first cohort of 7 veterans through, and the idea there is that we want to teach veterans how to manage their pain in a more healthy way in order to reduce their dependence on opioids and narcotics. And we have a lot of tools: education, physical therapy, complementary alternative medicine strategies, and we have already reduced opioids, high dose opioids, by nearly 70%. So it's a model program. It's been very successful, and we're going to keep growing that.
Director Kelly, I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks very much for having me, Tom.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Wendy Cederstrom, Todd Kubinski, Director Patrick Kelly, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about therapy dogs for our wounded service members, and we go back to the Tet Offensive of 1968 with a Vietnam veteran from Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.